A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. We seek refuge in God from the ousted Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ahli baytihi at-tahirin. Peace and salutation upon Prophet Muhammad and his progeny. Welcome again to this episode of this program. I'm very, very happy to have you at this last segment of this program to know about Islamic practical laws and go throughout and know more. Because as you know already, we are going to talk about, you know, initiative thing in Islamic practical laws. The things we are telling you, they're not the whole topic and the whole, you know, matter. You have to go and dig out by your own self. But just we are going to introduce and give you some prior knowledge about this. Okay, let's review something from the previous session. As you know, in previous session, we have talked about khums, a little bit, you know, zakat. So now I want to just give some summary from the last and previous session. So, and then we go furthermore to know more about Islamic rulings and Islamic laws. As you know, we have talked about, you know, khums. As I said, is the 1/5 of one properties, or something is extra money or something, you don't need it anymore. You have spent your expenses and you left something to save. So this is the case, you have to give it as khums. And khums is in two parts. One is in the part for Imam Zaman Imam, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, or the Imam, the Holy Savior alayhi salam. And second part is in the hand of, you know, marja, to give it, to have as a, we can say, social affair or something like propagating Islam and so on and whatever, you know. So as we said, in this half part, if you see a Sayyid who is the progeny or descendants of Prophet Muhammad and he's in need, by the permission of the mujtahid and marja, you can spend for him. And especially who is a traveler and he does not have money to go back to his own town. So you can give him back, you can give him or give him money, even he is a rich man, but now he's in need of that money. So if you have took permission from the marja, so no problem. You can give him to go to his own town, and that is one of the reasons you can spend the khums, but by the permission of marja. And we have pointed about, you know, zakat. As you know, zakat, therefore, these things that they are necessary to pay zakat for it. As we said, cereals like barley, wheat, date, raisin, and for domestic animals like camel, cow, and lamb, or sheep. And another one, that third one, is for coins or species like some gems like gold and silver. So these are the things you can pay. You can give zakat for it. And when it comes to a specific, you know, amount of, you know, those things, as I pointed out already for you, so you have to pay zakat. And one of the things we can spend zakat for it is for the person who is a traveler, even if he's not a Sayyid. So we can give him zakat. Because as I told you already, zakat is one of the pillars and very, very important things that anyone who denies this thing, he will be considered as apostate. He has to repent and do not say about this zakat anymore, because zakat is very important and is a kind of wajib charity, obligatory charity we have to pay in our society. These are the things that Islamic law has told us to revive and to make the society in a good position and did not let it to go astray and make it, you know, Islamic society is supposed to be all the time ready and not under threat. So these are some thing, as a previous session I told you. So today we're going to talk about jihad. Jihad is a controversial topic today. Now we are involved with it. And you know, in this short time, I cannot go through and tell you all the aspects of jihad. But let's go and see what is the term jihad, this term of jihad, or the word of jihad, what does it mean? Jihad is an Arabic word, an Arabic term. It came from jahada, and means to strive, and here means to strive against selfishness, sins, and bad desires, or concupiscence, and bad desires. For example, it doesn't mean, you know, nowadays they interpret it in some Western countries, it means that to kill and assassinate, you know, non-believers or non-Muslims. Non-Muslims, they say, you know, totally. Even non-believers, you're not allowed to kill them, because Islam is the religion of peace. It's not the religion of murder. You know, jihad, when the term jihad takes place in our society, is the time somebody attacks you. So in that time, when you're attacked, so you have the right to defend yourself. You cannot, you know, initiate in war. We are not allowed to initiate the war, because all the traditions and narrations from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all imams, it shows that we have the right to defend ourselves, not to initiate the war. Even at the time of, you know, Karbala, the Battle of Karbala, Imam Hussein did not initiate the war. He has pointed out, okay, we should not initiate the war. If they initiate, they start and commence the war, okay, we defend ourselves. We are not allowed to do that. So here it means, if anyone claims that you have the right to kill and assassinate non-believers and non-Muslims, absolutely he's telling you a lie. Do not believe. We are not such people, not those people to initiate war or even attack people. Even at the time, you see, sometimes our imams, they have been insulted or humiliated by some other people, non-Muslims or non-believers. They didn't even, you know, shout at them. They have responded them, you know, gently. When they have saw this thing, they said, okay, you showed that you are the righteous person, you are the divine person, we believe your religion and we want to come along with you because you are the righteous person. So jihad, as I have told you, jihad in case of war is to defend yourself from enemy, not to initiate, to attack, just to defend, to protect yourself. Even your properties, your assets, you know, all the thing belongs to you, financially or materially, even you have the right to defend yourself. You're not allowed to start a war or start killing or so on or whatever, you know. Okay, so jihad is necessary all the time, even if there is no imam. To defend yourself, even if imam is not present at that time. So you have to defend yourself. To initiate, to attack, or go to to develop the Islamic lands is not allowed just by the permission of imam. But if imam gives you permission, okay, no problem. But without his permission, especially nowadays time, in this contemporary time, we are not allowed to have this kind of thing. You're allowed to defend yourself, your personal life. You can defend yourself. You have the right to defend the Islamic territories, lands. If enemies, they have planned to attack, or they have attacked and invaded Islamic lands, you have the right to defend yourself. I'm emphasizing defend yourself. As I told you, even you have the right to defend your properties, your, for example, material things, no problem. To know about this, we can say this military, you know, I can say exercises or whatever, to be trained well when the enemies, they start to invade and attack you, is good. It's, you know, necessary for you, but not to initiate war, to defend yourself. Well, the next thing about jihad is not to kill, is not killing unarmed people, innocents, and who did not attack you. Please, you know, notice that. If someone is unarmed, no weapon, no missile, nothing, so you're not have the permission to kill or attack him, to even slap him, to beat him. No, Islam does not allow you. For old people, for children, you know, for women, Islam does not allow you even to touch them, even to harass them. You should, you know, understand this thing and be aware of this. Islam, you know, considers the human rights. This is the kind of human rights to do not attack them. So, when you're attacked, Islam has allowed you to defend yourself. That's fine. So, please, if anyone is misinterpreting, you know, this word or this term in a wrong meaning, please correct him. Jihad is to strive against somebody's selfishness or desire. And jihad, when you are attacked or they have invaded your country or your rights, to defend your rights, okay, you can defend. I use defend, not attack. Well, the next topic we're going to talk about it is enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. As you see, the text is written here is a one verse in Holy Quran chapter 3 verse 104. God Almighty has told us, let there arise from you a group of people inviting what is good, enjoining what is right, and forbidding what is wrong. These are the ones who will be successful. Okay. In this term, even it has some correlation with the previous topic, jihad. You know, when somebody is doing something wrong, you don't have a right, you know, to, for example, to force him, to attack him. This is the right of the judiciary system or something, or whatever like this. But by tongue, if the situation and circumstances are ready for you, you can tell him, okay, brother, the thing you are doing is not good. And please do not do it. And do the right thing, for example. If you see the circumstances and conditions are prepared for you and is okay for you, for example, somebody is drinking wine, a Muslim, not non-Muslim, we're talking about the Muslims. Okay, please, brother, this thing is not good. We see some people, they are going to beat them to, for example, to have some harassment for them. No, Islam is just letting you to preach them, to enjoin them, and forbid them. Not, you know, physically, not by hardship or, you know, attacking on them. And sometimes, if you see the situation is not prepared for you, and if you're going to tell him, that drunk man is going to kill you, so it's not a place you have to enjoy him for a good thing, a good deed, and to forbid him from evil. So, this is not a place. But sometimes you see some people, some Muslims, they are doing something wrong, and they are at the beginning of doing wrong, and there is no any threat for you, so, and everything is prepared for you, so you're going to tell him, okay, leave this thing, brother, gently. Okay? So you have to be a good conversationalist to talk to him and say, okay, brother, it is not good to follow these things. You see, this is a corruption, and at the end of the day, you will reach to this, you know, we can say, dark position, or you will be frustrated, you will be void, or something like this. So let him to think, because Islam and Shiism is the religion of thinking, rationality, wisdom, not the religion of battle or, you know, forcing or, for example, attacking and killing and so on. Okay, as a matter of enjoying the good and forbidding the evil, I would like to notice something as I have wrote down in the screen you can see. In order for religion to progress and for society to flourish, people must initiate, advise, and attempt to guide each other toward righteousness by deterring each other away from misconcept. This action is mandatory for those who have belief in God and the Day of Judgment. Giving sincere advice is not, as some may argue, meddling in someone else's business. Rather, it is a valuable favor and one of the best forms of charity. So sometimes you need to meddle for something to remind them something they have forgotten. You know, to tell them, okay, these are not the thing that you are doing as well. Maybe you have forgot. You know, if you look at our imams or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're not such violent people. You know, they're such violent people. They just tell you in gentle way, they remind you. So it's in our school of thought, it's good to tell people, okay, this is not good you are doing, or this is good to do. So these are the saying and the school of thought of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a vast topic, and we need to go through, you know, and because unfortunately we're running out of time and we don't have much more time to go through this. I have to stop from here and let you to go and investigate by your own self and find out and dig out and delve it by your own, you know, wisdom. Because, you know, everything you hear, you have to go through a source to find out. Is it authentic or is something false? So I, as a brother, advise you to go through reading some very noble sources we have from Islamic teaching. So inshallah, by the grace of God, I hope you can dig out and go through and find out the gist of this knowledge very much, inshallah, by the grace of God. And I hope you have benefited from these lessons. I've done all my best, and that is it from me for today. And I hope you have grasped something. And you have any comments or any critics, please, I welcome you to give me those. And may Allah be pleased with you, and I wish you the best, and I wish to follow the right path of Allah, which is Islam, and the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam. Best regards, and may Allah protect you all.